How would this look on your resume? A DC-3 type rating. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Dan Grider, who is an 11,000-hour pilot. He's a career FAA Gold Seal flight instructor. The reason we're talking today is because something caught my attention on his resume, and that is that he offers type ratings in the DC-3. Dan, thanks very much for taking a few minutes out to join us today.
Glad to do it, Paul. How you doing?
I am doing great. First of all, tell us how you came to acquire a DC-3.
Well, I've been a long-time flight instructor and had a tremendous flight instruction background in single and multi, and I'd ended up doing so much multi-engine flight instruction. This became available about 7 years ago, and it, of course, increased my interest in the prospects of flight instructing in a transport category airplane, and so we began to pursue that as a option, and it just it worked out.
How does this interface with the current training environment? I mean, I know that the airline industry, for example, is facing a tremendous recruiting issue over the next few years. Is a rating in a DC-3 a logical stepping stone in any kind of career path, or is this something people do just for fun?
Paul, really, it's both of those. We have a lot of people that come in and do this just for fun, to get it on their certificate. We sell these DC-3 SIC ratings that go right on the front of their certificate, and they're real cheap, easy, and in-house to do. It's a second-in-command rating. We also sell the PIC one, but we sell mostly the SIC one just because I let people sit in the left seat and do the whole deal and fly the airplane, and they go home with the rating. But we also, for people that are career-minded and wanting to, for instance, people wanting to start off with the commuters or get on someplace that requires them to have, say, 1,200 total time, 200 multi, just to put on your resume that you've got a transport category DC-3 type rating on your certificate, if nothing else, is a great icebreaker at an interview.
I was going to say that would take the place of a lot of gray hair in terms of your credibility, I would think.
That's correct.
Well, now, what else do you do with the DC-3 these days? I know you do some air show work. Tell us how you make this plane pay for its keep.
Well, it's a multifaceted thing. We do a tremendous amount of flight instruction and ratings. I also have a contract with the FAA, so I train the FAA's pilots for them because they have their own DC-3. And, of course, there is no simulator for the DC-3. So flight safety and simi-flight are not an option for DC-3 training. But in addition, you know, we do the air show thing. I have a corporate sponsor called HERPA. And they build die-cast models, and HERPA wanted to take the aircraft to air shows, just increase visibility. So we've done that the last couple of years and been able to do some really neat air show things. So a lot of formation flights, and we give away and give away and give away. These air shows, we give rides to media and people and pilots and stuff. We just, in fact, Paul, I've had the airplane almost 7 years now. I've only flown it myself from the left seat twice. I give away everything that we've got. So there's somebody else sitting in the left seat of that thing.
Well, that leads to the other obvious question. This is not a 4.5 gallons per hour LSA we're talking about here. How does this all work out financially? Is it covered largely by sponsorships or appearance fees, or how does that work?
No, I have my wife's credit card, and she pays for most of that.
Well, it's nice to see you're an enlightened guy. A lot of times that works the other way in couples with whom I'm familiar.
Yeah, no, it really, believe it or not, it works out really good between all the aspects of revenue generation. And, you know, on a realistic basis, I'm just a regular guy like anybody else. I've got a wife and a couple of kids and a mortgage payment. So owning a DC-3 is absolutely out of the question if I didn't have revenue on it. And that revenue comes from government contracts, flight training, air shows, and corporate sponsorship. And when you add it all up, the airplane really does a nice job.
I have to get back to how you made the decision. Did you do a spreadsheet? Did you try to make this pencil out before you made the decision to buy the aircraft?
I didn't. In fact,
you couldn't.
One of those kind of things.
You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it if you had, right?
Exactly. If you want to put out a spreadsheet and take a look at it, it's not going to make any sense. It's just one of those things that you look at and say, let's try this and see what happens.
How many DC-3s are left flying in the world today?
You know, a lot of people ask that. Worldwide, there's still, I would guess, there's a tremendous amount left on the registry, probably in excess of 500 operable. In the States, there's fewer than 100 that are flyable left in the States, and even that number, I think, is probably even less. I would probably, you know, they've always said here the last 7 or 8 years about 100 of them left flying. I would think that there's probably 60 to 70 left flyable in the States here, because I know just about all of them now.
Well, in other places in the world, some of these are still workhorses.
Absolutely.
I mean, where are they used? Are they still used anywhere as airliners, or are they flying freight in most places?
No, they're still used as airliners, as people transport in several third world countries. And they could still be used today. The only thing we have in the United States that prevents that is the fact that we've got long runways and ILSs, and we've got turbine power available, where these other countries have short runways and they're made out of grass, and they don't have turbine access that we do here in the States.
We're talking today with Dan Grider, who owns and operates a DC-3 training school. You can actually get a DC-3 type rating. I'm Paul Platt. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800 for Cessna.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, and I'm talking today with Dan Grider, who not only owns a DC-3, but a DC-3 training school where you can get a DC-3 type rating. We've been talking about the airplane a little bit and Dan's offerings at his school. Dan, I want to ask you about air shows in particular. What kinds of things might we yet look forward to seeing the DC-3 perform at an air show?
You know, Paul, we've had such good luck and good experience with the air show slant corporate sponsorship environment. The airplane really is a huge, big flying billboard. Mm-hmm. And what we've noticed is that when the DC-3 flies, even just the sound of those rumbling radio engines makes everyone stop and turn. So for 08, we're getting ready to complete our smoke system, so we'll have a really powerful smoke system on each engine. And we look to do a little bit more of what we did last year with our DC-3, which if you look at it from the ground, Paul, you might think it's aerobatic. It's actually not. We won't be doing anything crazy with it, but it makes for an exciting show, something that you don't see every day. The DC-3 is very maneuverable. It's more maneuverable than you might think, but it makes for an exciting show as viewed from the ground.
Well, more maneuverable than we might think. What comes to mind there is that one engine low pass you've done.
Yeah, you know, that was I'll give you the insight on that. Last year, I was sitting in the office, and I got a call from Sun and Fun, and they were just 2 weeks prior. We were planning on going to Sun and Fun anyway, and Wayne Boggs was on the other end of the line. He said, "Hey, Dan, are you bringing the three down here this year?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what, we have got, if you'll consider doing it, we've got a slot for opening day on Tuesday, Wednesday, opening day, opening slot with your," and he had seen me fly before, and he and I have known each other for several years. He said, "If you'll bring that thing down, we'll put you in there opening day and let you have 7 minutes." And so we did. on site down there at Sun and Fun, I met with the FAA and proposed my proposal to them, which I had not done at an air show, mm-hmm. but I had done many, many times before to perform our single engine low pass. And the FAA looked at our data and looked at our credentials and approved it. And we did it. We did a we started the air show with the inboard crowd side engine feather, did a low pass right down to about 4 feet off the deck, and then kind of Bob Hoover style made a real gentle 30 degrees pull up into the left, and in that climbing left hand turn lit that other engine and brought it right back around for another low pass on two engines going the opposite way. So we had a ball doing it. It worked out perfect. The speeds were great, and the crowd loved it.
What about the one-wheel landing? That got some notice as well.
It did, and that's been a just a trademark thing of mine. I make a one-wheel landing in just about anything I fly, but the DC-3 is so stable and so so heavy that the way it sits, you can leave about half flaps and 24 inches of power and go right down the runway on one wheel, and it puts about 6 to 8 inches. I can only do this under calm conditions, but I can literally put the other wingtip about 6 inches off the deck going down the runway. There's a good video of that on the web as well that you can see that somebody captured at Sun and Fun last year as well, but it's a lot of fun to do. It looks ridiculous. It looks hard, but it's actually a very easy balancing act. The airplane just almost wants to do it all by itself.
Well, now, could I come to you for a tailwheel endorsement?
Absolutely.
In the DC-3?
Sure.
All right. Well, it'd be an interesting way to get it. Well, Dan, it's great to see people finding ways to make it pencil out to keep these great airplanes alive and bringing them to air shows to give people who would otherwise not get the opportunity the chance to see them. I guess you're going to be in Lakeland that you know of this year. Is there a possibility we might see you other places?
Yeah, we don't have 2008 ironed out totally yet, but we'll be, I'm sure, at a lot of other venues. And, Paul, I owe you a ride. I'll put you in the left seat of the DC-3. You know, we do a lot of formation flying with the Red Star Pilots Association. If you want to make one of those flights, I'll put you in the left seat of that big old DC-3 and let you launch on a formation flight with 15 other airplanes, and that is a lot of fun.
Wow. Yeah, I want a picture of that one. Your facility is located in the Atlanta area, is that right?
Griffin, Georgia, 6 Alpha 2.
Okay, all right. And you're probably the biggest thing flying in or out of 6 Alpha 2, right?
Yeah, just about, yep. 3,700-foot piece of concrete here, so at 25,000 pounds, we're the biggest piece of metal here.
All right, Dan, what is the best way for listeners to contact you if they want more information?
Just off the website, the DC-3 Network. .com or the aviatornetwork.com. Both websites are sister websites, and I'd be glad to correspond via phone or email with anyone.
All right, and we will also provide links to those websites from wherever people found this interview. Dan, thanks so much for joining us today, and good luck. We'll hope to see you during the coming season.
Thanks, Paul. I'll look for you down at Sun and Fun.
My guest has been Dan Grider, and you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.